The first reading is from the book of Acts. Peter addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this time? Or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant, Jesus, whom you handed over to rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked us to have him murderer given to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had forebode through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out." Word of God, word of life. Our second reading is from the book of 1 John. "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that we do not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we'll see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he is revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Just a quick note on where we are in Scripture. If you remember back to Easter Sunday, we heard from the Gospel of Mark, and it ended very abruptly with the empty tomb. And so as we do our 50-day celebration of Easter, when we're in the year of Mark, we have to look to other Gospels to hear the stories of the resurrected Jesus. So last week, Kelsey read from the Gospel of John, and this week we're going to hear from the Gospel of Luke. So we're kind of hopping around a little bit. So the Gospel, did I not mark the right page? I didn't, so we'll just read from my paper. The Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Jesus said to them, "Why are you frightened and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and Jesus took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. When I was 11 or 12, I think, my favorite grandfather died. And I remember very vividly being at the church for his funeral. And it was a small town, the town my family comes from. And as you do in small town churches, we had all gathered to hear the reading of the flowers, to know who had all sent flowers for the service. And then we had been taken off to a different room to wait while the rest of the people came into the church. So we were in the fellowship hall, I think, or maybe the church basement. And we were all gathered together, just our family. And I was very sad and crying and just kind of in my own little world when I suddenly heard one of my older cousins just gasp, and everyone turned to look at her. And what had caused her to gasp was that a man had just walked in to the room who looked exactly like my grandfather. And people started crying, and I was just in that moment where your brain is spinning, trying to make sense of something that doesn't make any sense. And it felt like a long time, but probably just a few seconds, to recognize my great uncle Harrison. He didn't come to family events, and not very many of my cousins had ever even met him, but he looked just like his brother, my grandpa. And it was hard to see his face, and it brought up our grief, and it was confusing to see someone that we didn't expect to see. And I think of that story when I hear about what happened with the disciples. I think about that experience because in Luke, the disciples are gathered together, grieving and sad, and never expecting to see their friend Jesus again. And then in walks this man who looks exactly like Jesus. And once they manage to get past their initial shock, they still can't quite believe it. I think their brains were spinning like mine, trying to find an answer that could make sense. Doubts arose in their hearts, it says, as they searched and struggled for some sort of explanation. Because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit with what they knew, what they had seen, what they had experienced. They had seen Jesus die. They lived through that. They had experienced the crucifixion and witnessed God not coming to save Jesus from the cross. They saw their friend and their teacher and the one they had dedicated their lives to die and be buried. That's what they know to be true. That's what they are experiencing in that grief and that fear. And then here comes Jesus. Jesus comes to them, talks to them, shows them his hands and his feet, and it is not his brother. It's not someone who bears a family resemblance. This is Jesus. He is alive. Jesus shows up in flesh and blood before their very eyes and has fish for dinner. And then he teaches them like he always did. The death that they had witnessed, that they were grieving, that had broken their hearts, it's gone. Death was gone. And what stood before them was life. Life. And this new reality changes everything. They thought they knew what had happened. This is like their sixth sense moment. You remember that movie, The Sixth Sense? That moment where they get new information that makes them rethink everything they thought they knew. And it changes everything. This is that moment for the disciples. When Jesus walks in and eats with them, It changes everything that they thought they knew about what had taken place. They thought they had watched their friend die, abandoned by God. But that was not the truth. The truth was that God was there the whole time. God was there in the pain on the cross, in the suffering and the death. God was there in the tomb, and then God broke it open. And what was left was life, a new life, different than anything they'd ever seen or known. And this life cannot be snuffed out or taken away by corrupt government or hatred or despair. See, the disciples thought they knew what had happened, that Jesus had died abandoned by God. But that was not the truth. The truth was that God was there every moment of the crucifixion, continuing to act out of love and continuing to work towards new life in ways they couldn't see or imagine. The truth is that God was there holding and caring for Jesus in his pain, carrying him through the pain of the cross, through his suffering, through his death. God did not abandon Jesus, but cared for him and carried him through death and back into life. That is the miracle and the gift of Easter. That is the promise of the resurrection, and it changes everything. It means that even in our darkest moments, when it seems like God isn't there, when it feels hopeless and we feel alone, that is not the truth. That is never the truth. The truth is that God is right there in our pain, in our grief, in our suffering. God is right there with us, strengthening us, sustaining us, holding us, and carrying us through. And like the disciples, we can't always see or understand this in the moment, when all we know is hurt or fear or loneliness. It's often on the other side that we're able to see God's hands in the hands that held ours, that we're able to see God's care in the care given by others. In the moment, it can be too hard to see, too hard to wrap our brains around. Like the disciples, we need to be reminded again and again of the miracle of the resurrection. We need to be reminded in the stories of our ancestors in Scripture. We need to be reminded in the gift of Christ's presence in Holy Communion. And as a community, we can be that reminder for one another. We can be that living, breathing reminder that Christ is risen, that he is here among us. As we reach out and care for one another, as we're there to love and support one another, we can be that physical, tangible reminder that we are never abandoned, that we are never alone. Even on days when it feels that way, the truth is that God never abandons us. The truth is that God is right here, in this room, everywhere we go, continuing to love us, continuing to do life-giving work in our hearts and in our lives. God is here holding us and caring for us and carrying us through whatever pain we experience, whatever suffering comes in our lives, to carry us through even death. That is the promise of Easter. That is the miracle of the resurrection, that nothing can keep God's love from us. Nothing can take away the life we have been given. That is the truth. And it changes everything. Thanks be to God. Amen.